Named after the mechanism that separates the sweet wort from the spent grain, False Bottom Girls helps you filter through the wonderful yet sometimes confusing world of beer.
Hey, I'm Rachel Hudson, head brewer and co-owner of Pilot Brewing and an advanced cicerone.
Hi, I'm Jen Blair, master cicerone, home brewer, and sensory expert. False Bottom Girls is proudly sponsored by Jasper Yeast, yeasts that are out of this world. Learn more about Jasper Yeast at jasperyeast.com. Welcome, everyone, to this episode of False Bottom Girls. I am Jen.
And I'm Rachel.
And
that
today,
sounded really weird.
Yeah.
I was about to say, I am Rachel, and then I just mixed it and said, I am Rachel.
Allegedly.
Sorry about that.
This is Rachel. And today we have a very special guest with us. We have Jen Price, who is the founder of Crafted for Action. And Jen, why don't you give us an intro? Tell our readers, tell our listeners all about yourself.
It's the book.
Yeah. Yeah. We're also really bad about like doing visual things to each other on this.
Yeah. We're like, hey, look at this.
Yeah. And it's like, people can't see that on a podcast. So
nobody can see
yes.
That.
Welcome, Jen.
Thank you so much for having me. Hey, I'm Jen. I'm Jen P.
Yes. Not to be confused with Jen B.
Right.
Right. Exactly. I'm the founder of Crafted for Action, which is a virtual and in-person conference that happens every year. It's our fifth year of the conference, but I'm also a local Atlantan. Besides being into beer, I'm into family and local culture and community. And, I do this beer stuff in my spare times. I have a full-time job too, like a lot of us do. So in the daytime, I'm a city planner and a project manager as well. And I don't know, I've just always had this whole thing about like community and, giving people opportunities. And in planning, I work in community development, engagement, outreach as well. So it's just community and beer and people and letting everybody have a chance is kind of my thing.
Yeah, and that's awesome. And one of the things that we were talking in a previous podcast episode is just how Crafted for Action is my favorite conference. And it's one of the reasons why it's my favorite is because the programming that you do is so well curated and isn't the same as like what you would see at the Craft Brewers Conference. So can you tell us a little bit about the Crafted for Action conference?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for saying that. It's my favorite too, but I think it should be. So when someone's not paid to say that, I'm like, yeah, man, we're doing some things right. We're doing some things right. So thank you. That's a vote of confidence for us, but Crafted for Action. I totally agree. It's meant to be very different from what people in craft beer may be used to. I've been to CBC like a whole one time. And it was so just like overwhelming and big and massive. And, kudos to them for being able to, have a conference with a million kajillion people there. But Crafted for Action is a little different because it's a lot smaller. It's definitely more curated toward people who are adjacent to the industry or who want to be a part of the industry and are just starting out. Folks who are in planning, breweries that are in planning, tap rooms or bottle shops that are on the way, or people who are just trying to, brew, their first couple of batches of beer, or people who are just learning, the art of cider making and wine making. And so it's just really meant to be an entry point for a lot of people, a welcoming place, a place where you don't have to have all the credentials, all the certifications. We're happy if you do, but it's a place where I think those kinds of connections are made at the very beginning of our careers in beverage. Mm-hmm. And I got into this just because it was fun to me and it was a hobby and a passion project for me. But for a lot of people who really, I'm the person who wants to take this beer thing and eventually flip it into my full time. And I know there's a lot of people who are like, us who want this beverage world to be their full-time gig. And I think a lot of times just putting people in the right room, putting people in the position to win is sometimes all people need. Just, you know, put me in the room with the CEO of such and such company and let that person do the rest. So Crafted for Action is really meant to be intimate so that people can make those connections, can really come away with a card and a phone number, and that person's going to remember them. And it's just supposed to feel good and also give people opportunity. So thank you for saying that. We do work really hard to curate those experiences that create that kind of family vibe and community vibe. And yeah, it's probably the most fun conference I've ever been to.
Yeah. And it really is. It is a ton of fun. And like you said, I mean, that's one of the, like when we're talking about the, you know, welcoming people in and helping them make those connections in the industry. Like I remember, I think it was maybe a couple of years ago, like one of your panels was alternative financing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, that is such a good topic to talk about, because there's, you know, we're just kind of presented with the like, oh, this person cashed in their 401k, or, you know, they've got a small business loan or something like that. And it's like, traditional like financing models don't work for everyone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, particularly like historically, there are communities that have been shut out from that. And so having that, or, you know, you couldn't like call your parents to ask them to forward you some of your inheritance, you know? So it's like, that is kind of a majority of what we see in the industry. So having those kinds of panels that are just like, yeah, this isn't, you don't have to do it this way, because a lot of people I think can self-select out of wanting to do things like turn this into a full-time thing or opening a brewery or something like that, just because what works for the rest of the beer industry, you know, which is pretty homogenous, doesn't work for everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's like, I just love seeing things like that, because it absolutely does show people what is possible outside of just, you know, just the way everybody else does it. And there's nothing wrong with that, to be sure. But, you know, showing people like there are ways that you can do this in a different way than what we've been shown before.
Yeah, I think that's especially true now, because the brewery space is changing so much, right? We have a lot of tank space that is open in a lot of the bigger breweries. And this has created opportunities for people to start using, like, you know, I have my own brewery, Pilot. We started out with our own equipment, but we have expanded our production into, you know, contract brewing into another tank, another brewery, because they have open tank space. So it's like, this is a great way to expand and even start, depending on your state laws and kind of what kind of red tape you have. But there are breweries out there that are starting out as like an alternative proprietorship breweries. Mm-hmm. So it's like basically like, okay, this month, this tank belongs to this brewery and they're brewing this beer. And yeah, we have a tap room and you can sell your beer there. And you can like distribute it, you know. So the market is changing in such ways where these opportunities aren't necessarily being talked about or anywhere, unless except for situations like yours, you know. Mm-hmm. So it is a really good way to introduce new ways to get into the industry, because it's not easy. Like if you don't have a business, you're not going to get an SBA loan. Which is the whole way to start a business is to get a loan. So it's like,
right.
Yep.
So funny, tell me, right, as like a ticket goer someone who's going in person, like when I walk in, like what can I expect?
All right. It's a long week.
Yeah.
You can expect that you're going to be exhausted by Sunday, but on Wednesday, you come into town and we have a welcome bottle share. So it's just meet and greet the panelists, meet and greet, you know, our sponsors, come together in this amazing space. This year, we're going to be at Wild Heaven over at Lee and White on the west side of Atlanta. But bring a beer or two to share and just hang out. So that happens on Wednesday, and it's supposed to end at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Supposed to. But that's just a chill evening to meet folks. And then the meet and the business happens on Thursday. So we start Thursday, we have breakfast. The first session's at 10 a.m. It's a welcome. We have a local elected officials come and kick things off. And then we have panels, demonstrations, workshops all day Thursday until about 4:30, 5 o'clock. We have happy hour that evening, as well as our annual Atlanta History Beer Dinner. And this year, Thursday is Juneteenth, so we're having a Juneteenth party that night. Nice. On Friday, we start all over again with more panels, conversations, workshops on Friday. Those go until about 4, because at 4:30, we do our annual pitch competition with our fellows. This year, we have a group of 6 small businesses in the beverage world who will be competing for a micro grant. And last year it was $8,500. This year, our goal is $10,000 for the first place winner. So it's a live, rowdy, raucous-ass event. It's so much fun. There's a lot of crowd participation and voting. And then after that, we do an award. So we award the money right then and there and also give some community awards that day. That night, we do an event called Brews and Beats, which is a music and beer sort of interactive pairing. Jen is nodding her head. She's been to all these events.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones. It's just such a cool idea to do a beer and music pairing. And I've been to that event, and it's just it's so cool.
It is. It's a really fun idea. This year, we're giving it a little bit of a makeover, a little revamp. I won't say much about it yet because we're still solidifying the partnerships there, but it's going to be incredible. So that happens Friday night. And then that's enough for Friday, right? Because on Saturday, let me back up, because Friday, because we've added a whole wine component, there's also a wine dinner on Friday.
Oh, nice.
For a small group, if folks want to do a wine dinner the next day. So that happens on Friday. All that happens on Friday. Saturday, we get up and we do community service with Brewgather, who is an organization that works on pairing breweries and urban farms. And we do a farm cleanup. We have a panel discussion and a share afterwards. So that's an early start on Saturday for a small group of people. We'll have also an event we call Unplugged that we do with our friends at Outdoor Gear and Beer, who is a sort of they're a husband-wife pair that live outside. Like, that's all they do is camp and go overlanding and do weird stuff like that. So instead of sleeping outside, we do it during the daytime. But it's a fun vibe. REI out. Fits it with amazing glamping kits and setups, and it's just fun, chill time, drums and music and just food, nothing to do except chill out. And then Sunday this year, we have for our wine people, a wine tour to North Georgia, or an event we call Sunday Service, which is a finale beer share that we do to kind of close things out. Now, peppered throughout on Thursday and Friday, we'll have outdoor events with the Beltline, which is a local, there's a nice trail system that runs through Atlanta called the Beltline. So we'll do an art walk along the Beltline, a bike ride along the Beltline, a couple other fun things, yoga we'll have. So in addition to all the beverage and beer and wine and spirits content, we also try to weave in some wellness and community and culture throughout the week. So it's busy. Wow. Rachel,
yeah, you,
it's busy.
I feel for you. I understand the amount of work that you have to do to pull that off. Oh, wow. That sounds awesome though.
It's fun though. Yeah.
And it I feel is.
Like this year, in our fifth year, third year in person, fifth year, like overall, I feel like we've kind of hit a good stride. So a lot of the stuff that we're doing, we've done before. We're just scaling now. We're trying to, you know, we're at a bigger venue this year. We can spread out more.
Yeah.
We can create more distinct experiences for people. And we can really, I think, grow in this location where we are. So a lot of stuff, we've done it before. We're just kind of tweaking it and perfecting it as we go. So.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I love about it so much, is that there are all these different components and weaving in so much of, you know, like I've been in Atlanta for 5 years, and the events that you have also just kind of celebrate Atlanta and the community and, you know, kind of everything this area has to offer. And I think that's so cool. And another thing that I always appreciate is that, like, you have all of these activities that aren't necessarily just centered on drinking, you know, like, it's let's get outside, and like that might be a component of it, but it's not you know, like there aren't like these big industry parties every night where everybody just wants to go and get as many free drinks as they can and, you know, and just stuff like that. Yeah. And so being able to like spend the day outside and do community service, I think that's just such a cool component about the conference and one of the things that makes it so special.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. I think balance is really important. And as I age, I've learned, more power to you if you can drink like that for 3 days in a row.
No. It's funny. I feel you, and especially these days. We have now that we're growing and we're statewide, we feel like it's important to do all the festivals. So
yeah,
we were doing this big beer, bourbon, barbecue festival. And, you know, people are just downing, you know, bourbon all day, like let alone beers. And I had my THC 5 milligram Delta 9 seltzer can that I brought in with me because, you know, they didn't have any of that stuff there. And I tell you what, I had so many questions, people asking me where they could get one of those. Like, yeah, it's just like, cause you know, we're older. They're older too. Like, where's all you? Like, he's like, I just can't do all this beer anymore. I was like, I feel you, man. Don't tell me one because I'm trying to sell all this beer, but I feel you.
No, but you know, you make a really good point because people's consumption, you know, people are changing. And
oh, for sure.
Yeah. And
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the whole thing now.
And I get it, you know, like not just our age, but the younger generation too. There's less interest in not just beer, but alcohol in general. And it's something that we talk about with the brewery, like, you know, when our lease ends up, if we're going to renew it or not, part of that's a real part of the evaluation, you know, is the market. And I think we're small enough where we could be okay. But, you know, someone... these mass breweries.
Yeah. That's a real question. They can't be as nimble, maybe.
You know,
just those smaller operations.
Consolidation, layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen it. And who knows, really? Beer goes like this.
It does. If you look
every
at
10
it,
years
you know, and, over time, exactly. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Exactly.
And so, Jen, you did mention that you've added a wine component. And I know over the past 2 or 3 years, I know at least last year, definitely, but you have it like kind of expanded the scope to be not just beer. So you also have cider. I think you do. Mm-hmm. There's been like some like kind of homebrewing components and stuff. So talk to us a little bit about how that's expanded. And I don't want to say why, because I know why, but you know, where you saw that need to bring in these other fermentation industries.
Yeah. I mean, some of it just was out of my own curiosity. You know, beer is always going to be the foundation for me, but I started just locally learning more about wine and hanging out with some friends here in Atlanta who just, I mean, they are the way that we geek out about beer, they geek out about wine. And it's so fascinating to me. I feel like an idiot sometimes when I'm with them. I have no idea what you guys are talking about. But I like white wine. I like white and bubbles. Like
yeah.
but I'm just so I'm enamored of like the zeal and the excitement they have about wine. It reminds me of how I was about beer years ago when I was just first learning. So it's just fun to me, first of all, just to learn new things. So part of it is that, but the other part, it's just what we're talking about. You know, I think people want more. As an event planner, I'm trying to think ahead of where things are now and ahead of the curve. And like we're saying, you know, we see the industry changing, we see people changing, and I'm just trying to watch the trend and not necessarily follow the trend, but make sure I'm responsive to it. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that, you know, there's a lot of crossover between beer and wine in, you know, some of the nuanced outcomes of the process of making beer and wine. So there's parallels there that we can draw. So I love being able to do that. And then when it comes to like other beverages, like spirits and as Rachel's saying, like non-alcoholic adaptogens, cider, kombucha, so many like fermented, so much out there.
There's, and I think this conference does a good job of pairing it with things that are unique, like beats, like music, or things that are make it can include someone else's interests, exactly. even if they're not necessarily interested in beer, they mm-hmm. are interested in why you're pairing maybe their favorite songs with these beers. Mm-hmm. So it is a great way. I talk about that a lot with the brewery because you can make the best beer in the world. It doesn't really matter. You need to get people in your door. And one of the best ways we do that is events and pairings and things mm-hmm. that really don't focus around beer a lot of the times, because it's a way to bring the community together, you know? So I totally get that with, and I think that is a great part of this conference is being able to you're not just focusing on the alcoholic part of it. You know, there's a lot more mm-hmm. about it. There's culture,
for sure.
Centuries, yes. you know, there's so many other things and just, you know, the way ingredients grow and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and when you dial into, thank you. Yeah. I was going to say, when you dial into things like sensory and like that's across the board, it doesn't matter if it's beer, wine, spirits, if you are learning, you know, how to break down what you're smelling, you know, in a beer or from a certain hops or whatever, it's still training your nose and you're training your palate for everything. I think people who are really into like digging in a little deeper and, you know, you should be able to find parallels and find, I think, value in any of it. You know, it's all there.
Oh, it's all so ingrained in everyday life. Like
mm-hmm.
I have been working on an outline for a presentation similar like that and putting it together. Jen, I actually wanted to text you the other day and be like, everything is in the world. Like every off flavor, it's like how to train for off flavors without off flavors. So like every off flavor is out there. I mean, every single thing. When I've gone through my notes in our Aruxa class, mm-hmm. and it's just like it. I was just like, man, you can train with fruits, chocolate extracts, vegetables. Like it's mm-hmm. just crazy. And so it's a great way to connect the beer world. You know, cooking is a kind of an example of that. Like. Connecting your senses in ways that you didn't really mm-hmm. know. I just think it's also fascinating.
I do too. And I think also giving people like permission to do stuff different, right? Like mm-hmm, mm-hmm. there's this standard way that we think that you're supposed to be tasting and smelling and learning about beer and judging and, you know, getting all into whatever. But like, there's also just like a real basic ass way to do it, right? Like mm-hmm. I was on Instagram recently and our friend, Michelle, Excited to Feast. She's in, I think she's in your aroma class, was talking about how she needs to work on smelling tropical aromas. And so she went to the store and just bought like some fruit and like cut it up
mm-hmm.
and did an at-home sensory tasting. And, you know, and she talked about being intentional when we're eating and like really like just slowing down. And like when you have certain ingredients in your salad or in your food, just like actually tasting them.
Mm-hmm.
Tasting them in different preparations, you know, raw and cooked, and how just like you said, everything is in the world. Like the stuff that mm-hmm. we need to understand sensory and beer and wine and spirits is really like already in front of us and so ingrained in what we already have and what we do. And I don't know, I just thought that was a neat take on it. One thing I really like about Michelle, and she was one of our fellows last year, is that she brings a really unique look at sensory. She's comes from a very different background than most people who are beer judges. That's the kind of thing that I want people when they come to Crafted for Action to know, is that you can be in this industry. You don't have to be cookie cutter. You don't have to be look, smell, act, taste like everybody else. You can come in and do your own thing and create mm-hmm. your own lane. And I just think that's so neat. I've really enjoyed, she's a good example because I've enjoyed watching her.
Yes. Like, I had this exact conversation with Michelle the other day where I was like, it just makes me so happy and proud.
Yes, me too. I've known her forever. And just to see her journey, and she's not the only, so many of us are doing that in our mm-hmm. own different spaces, you know, our own different ways. And it's not all in front of the, you know, it's not all liquid produce and product based. It's people who are marketing. It's people who are, you know, who run tap rooms, who do HR at a brewery or who are, you know, a distributor in the wine space. So it's so many different avenues to be in beverage. And I think that's one of the things we also like to highlight at Crafted for Action is that it's not, you know, it's something for everyone.
Yeah. Right. It's not just brewer or salesperson. Mm-hmm. Like exactly. There's a whole range of things out there that you can be. And that's, for me, again, I'm just going to keep saying, like, another thing I love about the conference, but is that, you know, you can tell when you're at the conference that it has been designed, cultivated for community. And what I love about it is, you know, like last year, Latrice Harris and I did the, like kind of the style exploder for everyone. And it just the tone and the feeling and just everything about the conference tells you, like, this is like not necessarily a safe space, but it, you know, it is though, because you're for a lot of us, you're walking into a space where it's like, oh wow, I'm not the only woman here, or, you know, whatever. It's like everybody. And so when not everybody, but it's a lot of people from historically excluded communities, and mm-hmm. you get to get together, and you don't see that at other conferences, you know? And so it's like, it's just like, oh wow, like I don't have to square up my shoulders. Nobody's going to come up and be like, oh, name five IPAs, you know, or something like that. Like, that's just like that kind of like hubris just isn't at Crafted for Action, the way that it can be at that maybe bigger conferences that I've seen. So it's much more of just like a, hey, we've all kind of had somewhat similar experiences in the beer industry, and now we get to just hang out. And, you know, and enjoy each other's company and learn in this space where like everybody's allowed to be at every different level and everybody's cool with it.
Absolutely. I don't have anything else to add to that.
So tell us a little bit more about the Crafted Fellows program, because this is in its second year, correct?
This is we're welcoming our third cohort this year. So,
all right.
I'm so excited. Okay. So, Crafted Fellows is an accelerator. It's our accelerator program. It's designed to give BIPOC people just a very one-on-one, dialed in, just a very, it's like a wraparound of what craft beer and the craft community is for me, because I'll just back up a little bit if you don't mind. So I started in craft beer just as a, you know, like I said, as a hobby. I graduated to wanting to own a craft beer store, and I got accepted into an accelerator program here at Emory University, which changed my life. That was in 2017, and it has been probably the single best thing I've ever done for me as a business person. Just having that one-on-one attention with a program that kind of just wrapped around what I was doing. Not only me wanting to open a store, but it gave me an opportunity to meet new people, to really kind of dial in on what my business purpose was. It gave me a chance to, you know, really understand financials, really understand just like the foundational aspects of starting a business. Because like many of us, I keep saying this, when you start a business from a hobby, you may not really like know all of the foundational things to do. Like,
yep. Rachel and I were just having this conversation.
You don't know. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. And Jen, you told me this years ago, like, just like start ugly. And so, mm-hmm. so many of us just start, and which is great. You have to. But it's also really important to like make sure you have some of those really basic things in place. And so that program did that for me. And it, like I said, it changed my life as a business person. And I just something I really wanted to create and give to other people. There are very few like beverage focused accelerators in the US, mm-hmm. very few pitch competitions where you can get money for a beverage business, because it's usually very restricted. And maybe there's a reason, I don't know it yet. I hope I don't get in trouble, but I'll talk to the IRS later, but there just doesn't exist, right? It's just like, it's really hard to find this very specific thing. And so when I started Crafted Fellows, it was for that purpose, to give people of color, like you said, folks who are traditionally underrepresented in craft beer, a chance. We do a series of virtual sessions throughout the fall, up to 6 sessions, where we have speakers come in and talk about very specific topics that the fellows have said that they have challenges with or need help with in their application. But yeah, it's really meant to elevate and support and give people community outside of the conference that they can lean on and lean into and just bounce ideas off of, you know, the thing that really, I think, made it real for me, the fellows real for me, was last year when we were able to give away as much money as we gave away. Mm-hmm. The fact that people like believed in the program enough to give us money to give away was just really touching. And so this year we became a nonprofit so that I think we can really just like ramp it up and do a really good job of helping folks. So it's a competitive process. This year we have 6 fellows from just like a wide variety of backgrounds. The first year that we've had such a wide, like, and I'm happy for it. I really like it. We have Beloved Pairings, who does like food and beer dinners and experiences all wrapped around beer, food, and cultural exploration of food and beer. Divine Libations is, she's not only like a luxury wine brand, but she also does blending and wine making in her studio, which is really cool. She's in Atlanta. There's Ofori Brothers, which is founded by Kumi. It brings like African flavors of wine and infuses traditional ingredients like ginger into classic wine styles, which is like,
oh, that's very cool.
It's very cool and something that people are not doing in wine. Cela K is a luxury stemware brand.
Yes, I'm so excited about the glassware fellow. When I saw it, I was like, glassware!
I was like, wait a minute. I guess somebody makes glass. Like, that's a thing that people can do.
Yeah.
It's not like, duh, somebody makes it. I drink out of it.
Right.
Small but Fierce Brewing is out of Bend, Oregon, and they are interested in diverse storytelling and talking about, you know, the contributions of minorities and LGBTQ brewers to the beer industry. So they're writing a book about it. And then Wander Hour from Memphis, Tennessee, creates travel-inspired cocktail spritzers. And so it's just, it's not all beer this year. It's so many different people. And
yeah, that's so cool.
I know. I'm really excited about it, Jen. It's like my favorite thing to do. The fellows, I'm so happy that we are a nonprofit. And I think it's going to give us just more like many more lanes to operate in.
And yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's wild, man.
People can do more for you when you're a nonprofit.
Yeah.
Bit larger, the larger businesses can do more for you when you're mm-hmm. not.
So good. Do you have, if let's say our listeners wanted to donate to the accelerator program, do you have mm-hmm. a way they can do that? Or like yeah, for individual donations?
Absolutely. At craftedforaction.com, there's a Crafted Fellows tab and you can go down and donate.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's real easy.
Listen, just, that's the most important thing.
You know what I'm saying? Email me, let me know, hit me on Instagram. We'll find a way. But yeah, I agree, Rachel. I think what we have already found is that people are able to give more and are really curious about, you know, ways to support, a way to support that feels good to them. And I think this feels good to people.
So, yeah, for yeah. sure. And that's, I used to like way back in the day, I did a lot with like microeconomics and microloans and stuff. So I know mm. how important that can be. And mm. like a lot of times I think, and I know I've fallen victim to this too, where you're I have this idea, I want to do this. And then it kind of snowballs and you get overwhelmed and it's just like, okay, there's just too much to do. And being able to have kind of this impetus of, you know, like it's when you really think about it, is it, do you need $100,000 right now? Or is that $10,000 what's going to help you set up your website, you know, file your LLC, just all of those little expenses that in the beginning are really kind of hard to, mm-hmm. you know, to do. And also if it is kind of a hobby, you know, or something you're not, that's not work related, then, you know, you're doing that in like in your free time and yeah. it's just being able to have that, you know, cause, and again, speaking from experience, it's sometimes hard when you're trying to turn a hobby into something full time to justify spending like $500 on a website, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so just having like, it doesn't take that huge chunk of money for a lot of creators to be able to do something. And that, and like $10,000 to me as a creator is an enormous amount of money compared, yeah, you know, comparatively to what other people, you know, might be able to get. But those micro loans are so impactful. And I don't think people understand how impactful that really can be to have something like that. And I love that all of your fellows are like completely different. You're right. Like everything you read, it was like, wow, that's going to be a really hard decision to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
You know, because it's every one of them. I'm like, that's a cool idea. That's a cool idea. Well, that's really neat. And like, I want to read that book, and I want that stemware, and I want those wines and everything. So it's going to be a really tough decision.
I know. I hope we get more than 10,000 so that we can give everybody something. That would be ideal. Even if it's just a small stipend for coming to Atlanta. So,
right. And then, so when the fellows are in Atlanta, you do have like a pitch competition, right? Mm-hmm. Where everybody, mm-hmm. So how does that go for the fellows?
Yeah. So we kind of switched our schedule a little bit this year. We're shifting our schedule so that eventually the pitch competition is the finale for the accelerator program. We're almost there. I'm just doing a slow shift. But this year, you know, we build in 3 virtual sessions before the conference to meet with the fellows to make sure everyone understands the rules for the pitch competition. They get 3 minutes to pitch.
Okay.
And in those 3 minutes, they should explain their why. They should explain their purpose, why they need funding, what they plan to do with it, and to win over our panel of judges. But we make sure that they are prepared by having a few virtual sessions leading up to the conference. When they come to the conference, we have a few sessions that we have sort of carved out as the fellows track. So having looked at their businesses, we kind of put together a individual sort of conference itinerary for each one.
Oh, nice.
And it's a suggestion. You know, you can go to whatever they want to, but
right,
just based on what we read in their applications and what they said they needed. And then on Friday is when they pitch. So we give them half day Friday to kind of get their stuff together, you know, be off at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and kind of go into your closet,
right,
your space and figure your pitch out. You know, the pitch competition, judges are normally really engaged. One who is our lead judge, who we've worked with her for years, Kiana McCoy here in Atlanta. She's actually a diversity officer for a really big engineering firm, but she runs mentor programs for the transportation engineering industry. And so she actually goes through all the applications and takes her own handwritten notes on each fellow. The questions that she asks are very pointed and very specific. She's like the scariest shark on Shark Tank. That's how I would describe Kiana. Then let me tell you what she does after each pitch competition. She asks each fellow to come and sit with her, and she gives them notes about not only what she saw in their application, but what she heard in their pitch. And she gives them scanned copies of her pitch notes. Like
that's amazing.
She's really, really big on mentoring and on elevating and, you know, just being a resource to people. So we have her, and then our sponsors who give like the big dollars get to also be on the pitch judging panel. But it's a fun time. It's I've pitched a few times, and it's the scariest 3 minutes of my life every time I do it. So the fact that folks get up there and do it, and I'm just always blown away by the courage and the tenacity that it takes to get up there in front of a crowd of people you don't know and talk about something that's so near and dear to you and have someone, I don't want to say judge you for it, but they kind of do, you know, and it's tough. And, but it's fun. It's probably the most like energetic part of the conference. It's a great way to end it.
Right. Yeah. And I agree. Like it's such a vulnerable thing to take an idea from your head to like get it onto paper and then to tell somebody about it, but then to also tell a lot of people about it and have people take this idea that you have that you're so excited about and, you know, kind of not poke holes in it, but like you said, like very carefully analyze and ask very pointed questions. And I know I've been in that space where somebody has been like, okay, so how are you going to do that part? I'm like, I don't know. Just be excited for me.
I need the money to figure that out.
Yeah, right? Exactly. But yeah, having those outside voices asking you those kinds of questions do, you know, make you think like, oh, yeah. Okay, these are things that I have to consider. And Rachel and I just had a discussion about that the other day because she's currently a mentor with the Brewers Association. I've been a mentor with them before. And, you know, I've talked to mentees where they're like, well, what kind of glassware should I have? And, you know, I'm just like, you don't even know if where you want your brewery is zoned for that. And you didn't realize that there were zoning laws you needed to worry about. So it's like, you don't need to worry about your glassware just yet. You know, you need to, you've got some other steps.
It can be fun to focus on the fun things, but yeah, it doesn't matter if you can't get
Yeah. So that seems like it's a valuable experience for everybody involved just to have, you know, those outside eyes very carefully look at what they want to do and then provide them with help, you know, with helpful support and like, hey, here are things you need to think about.
And then one of the things that we do after, I should say, when we conclude the virtual programming is pair our fellows with mentors one-on-one who can help them kind of, okay, you know, you've gone through all these sessions, you learned all these things. What are your next 4 weeks, 4 months, 4 years going to look like? Just kind of help them map out their thoughts. They give their time for, you know, up to 4 to 6 hours of their time, office hours, so to speak, to just kind of be one-on-one with them. And we pair them with folks who are kind of related to what they do, but maybe not so much. I always say like one of the best mentors I ever had didn't know anything about beer. He worked for like Georgia Power.
Yeah,
he worked for the Georgia Power Electric Company, and he was fantastic. He was one of the best mentors I had because he wasn't in beer. I think you know, he was just a little. He was curious about beer, he knew enough, but asked me questions I probably would have never thought to even think about. You know,
right?
So that's another important part of our program with them that I think really sets them up for success.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm very excited about it, and I mean I've been. I think I've presented every year since the conference started because like I just love it so much. Yeah. And it's just been super cool to see it grow, and I'll be a little sappy. I'm just very proud of you and just seeing this whole thing and how it's grown. It makes me a little emotional about it because it's such a cool thing. And I love seeing that.
Thank you.
And I'll stop.
It's going to be the title of our podcast episode. Jen P. Yeah. Makes Jen B cry.
Yeah.
I've been holding it back myself. Jen, I was trying to remember like when I can't remember when we actually met. Like I'm trying to remember the first, because I feel like I've known you forever. And I've known you my whole beer life here in Atlanta when I moved back. I moved back in 06. And I'm just like, when did I meet?
Yeah.
I can't even put a finger on it because I feel like you've been like a part of so much of what I've done. And I just have to thank you for that because I was on a podcast just recently and talking to someone about like the first, and now I'm about to get emotional, talking to someone about the first Crafted for Action and how it was just going to be like a few Instagram live. Remember Instagram live? It was going to be a few Instagram live with a few people during American Craft Beer Week. And then somehow I reached out to you, Jen, and I was like, well, I just need help finding like 3 more people. And Jen found like 8 more people. And so it turned into like a whole like virtual conference. And I was like, oh, okay. So this is a conference now. but it was all because Jen like connected me with like so many folks. And it was virtual then. So it was much easier to kind of make that to do a conference in 2021. That's why I did it virtually, because it was just easier to do. And we were kind of in the virtual environment and nobody was going outside. But Jen has been such a champion of Crafted for Action and of me and of basically everything that I've done. And I don't know anyone who, can't think of anyone else who's given as much time and energy besides like people who are on the team, like Chanel and Kevin.
Yeah.
But like, as far as folks out in the community who want to be a part of this, like you've been down since day one. And I am so thankful.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm very thankful.
Yep, we'll just have a try to hold back tears for
Kumbaya
a moment.
Yeah. Rachel's okay, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Let it out. No, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here Rachel's used to the fact that I cry all the time.
Yeah, she cries every episode. Just kidding. She doesn't.
You know. No, but
she waits until we're done recording.
But yeah, but
do like, we crafted, need that Orpheus?
You know?
Never mind. I'm just going to keep trying to remember it. I honestly cannot remember.
Right. No, and I, it may have actually been meeting in person at the first music and beer pairing. But
that
I know
the first time we met
talked.
In person?
It may
you
be.
Guys, you guys were probably friends talked. For like 3 years on Instagram.
Yeah.
Before you met.
Oh, yeah. You know that's how I go.
Yeah. Yeah. But I remember, you know, you were doing that at the same time I was doing, starting my online beer judge training. And I would like, I feel like we were both just kind of a little overwhelmed, but it was like, yeah. All right, we're doing it.
We're going to do it.
Yeah. We're going to jump in. We're going to start ugly and figure it out.
That's when Jen told me to start ugly. It's been written like on my chalkboard ever since.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the only way to do it.
Right.
It's going to be ugly.
Yeah. But you know what? Most of the time, most people.
But no
don't
one
really
knows.
Know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, Jen, thank you so much for joining us. And if people want to learn more about the conference, if they want to register for the conference, where can they go?
Craftitforaction.com.
Excellent. Everything. And there is this year. There is also, I think you already mentioned, a virtual, and that's like a pay-as-you-go model, correct?
Yeah, you can pay whatever you can or want to. It can be absolutely free. I want to always make sure we have something accessible for folks. If you can't come to Atlanta, it's probably because who can buy a flight? Everybody can't buy a flight and come down to Atlanta. So
right.
Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't the virtual stuff be, you know, accessible?
Right.
So it's a separate track of programming. It's not a live stream of what happens in Atlanta. It's actually like a virtual conference that happens in parallel to Atlanta on that Thursday and Friday. You can pay zero. You can pay $1 million. Just whatever you can. It's worth.
Yeah. We just need that one person to pay $1 million.
Just one.
Yes, just one.
Smallest, most lucrative conference ever. One person came and paid $1 million.
Change your conference for life.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, thank you, Jen, so much for joining us. And, I don't think we actually said specifically what the dates were for the conference this year.
Golly, you're so smart. Thank you. June 18th through 22nd.
Perfect. And it does happen every year around Juneteenth.
Every year around Juneteenth, yeah.
All right, perfect. So everybody can plan for next year if you can't make it to Atlanta this year. But the in-person, I mean, the virtual part is great. The in-person stuff is just so much fun.
It's
and
so rich.
It just really is so different from any other conference, any other industry conference you've been to. Like, it's just fun and it's community and, you know, fellowship and just everything. It's just such a fun environment. So if you can make it to Atlanta, I highly encourage you to come down for the conference.
Come on out, y'all. Hang out.
Yeah. So thank you, Jen Price, so much. Like she mentioned, you can go to craftedfraction.com to learn more about the conference, also to register, to donate to the fellows program. And yeah, Jen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Jen.
I appreciate y'all for having me. This was fun.
Of course. This has been False Bottom Girls.
And we make the brewing world go round. False Bottom Girls is proudly sponsored by Jasper Yeast, yeasts that are out of this world. Learn more about Jasper Yeast at jasperyeast.com.